Psalm 19 in the New King James. And this is a Psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now this psalm naturally breaks into four really different groups. And I could make, and Phil could do even better, I'm sure, sermon on each of the four groups, not just a whole sermon on this psalm. There's a lot here. Don't have a whole lot of time for psalm meditation. Maybe I'll do this next time Phil's out of town. But we see in the first six verses a description of the glory of God to be seen in creation. Now there are different types, different ways that God shows himself to mankind. And this natural revelation, children, is what this is called, where God shows that he exists in his power, in his glory, in his goodness, in his might, in his beauty, that are to be seen in the creation of the world and the heavens and everything that there is. We see here that the heavens declare the glory of God. And it's hard to do here in Ohio compared to some places, but if you live in a drier area or a higher area where you can get out at night and look up into the stars, look in the sky, see all the stars of the Milky Way and other galaxies can be seen with the bare eye if you know where to look and you're in a place that's clean atmosphere and not a lot of light. But the heavens declare the glory of God. This is part of the way that sinners, whether they say they do or not, know that there is a God. The firmament, that means the sky, children, shows his handiwork. The way things are put together so carefully and the way everything's regulated. And that's what this rest of this is talking about. Show God's glory. Now it's interesting. We see day unto day utter speech and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech or language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth and the words to the end of the world. Here we have a declaration again in God's word from God himself, saying that all men have seen his glory and know he exists, whether they admit it or not. We talked about how God has set a tabernacle, and that means tent or a home for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man, rising from one end of the heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. And again, the glory of God shines forth in the daylight as well as at night, and everyone sees it. Now the next chunk of it, we're going to say from 7 to 11. When I read this, you should have thought of Psalm 119, because this sounds very much like a section of Psalm 119, talking about the glory of God, how his commandments, his writings, all the things and the ways in which he communicates with mankind is good. They're all good for us. They're all necessary. But the point I want to see is not a point of distinction, but a point of contradistinction. We have at the beginning, all men see the heavens and earth, and all men know the glory of God, but what's missing there? You see nothing of redemption. You see nothing of sanctification. You see nothing of how to please God. All you see there is knowledge. And with knowledge and sin, it only brings judgment. The next section, God's special revelation, children, the writings and the words he has communicated to his people, Now we have the good things of God that redeem us from our sin. It starts right from the beginning. The law of Jehovah, you see the Lord in all capitals there. It means it's Jehovah or Yahweh. The law of Jehovah is perfect. That means it's complete. It's got everything necessary. And it also means it doesn't fail in any respect. It does what it came to do. And what does it come to do? Converting the soul. Here we see the law of the Lord, properly understood and applied by the Holy Spirit, converts the soul. It brings us to salvation. Because that's the only way we can know the true gospel is through knowing God's word. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, making wise the simple. Have you ever felt too dumb to know how to please God, just too simple-minded to be able to understand the great things of theology? Well, you don't have to understand the great things of theology, but the testimonies of the Lord, it is sure, making wise the simple. You'll know what you need to know if you know God's word. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. One who knows God and loves God and is redeemed by God, as he reads through the Bible and reads all the statutes and promises in there, will see that God is good, first of all, but God is also faithful, and he'll always be there for you, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. There's no sin in his word. So if you're commanded to do something in his word or allowed to do something in his word, there's no fear whether you don't have to think, well, is it really right? Can I really do? We know that God's statutes are pure, are commanded. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now, I want you to see here that there are many uses for the law of God. And the theologians will talk about the three uses of the law: to convict us of sin, to drive us to Christ, and to tell us how to live our lives wholly before God. And we see all of these right here in these verses. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, more than fine gold, sweeter than honey. And verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned. Even if you are God's servant, there's still warnings there for you. Turn from sin. Love God with your whole heart. Obey his word. And in keeping them, the flip side, there is much reward. Maybe not here on earth, though sometimes it is. But the peace of heart you get from knowing and obeying God's word is worth more than all this gold and honey that was spoken of. Now 12 and 13, kids especially, but grown-ups, it tells us to the different ways we sin and the things we have to think about when we come before God in confession and come before him when we talk about helping us to sin no more. First, who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. We all do things that offend God that we don't know about. We don't realize it. We're too dumb. We haven't read the scriptures well enough or understood them well enough, even if we have read them. The two things we do about that, well, we try to understand God's word better that we may serve God. But also, we need to remember that we can very well pray for forgiveness for the things that we didn't know we did wrong. Can God hold us guilty if we didn't know it was wrong? Of course he can. We should have known better. That's good enough. We were talking about that today. You should have known better. So you have to look into it. You have to search it. Remember the book of Job, he had sacrifices weekly for the sins of his children that even they didn't know they committed. It's the same idea. Keep your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. What's a presumptuous sin? That's when you know better and you don't care. You're going to do it anyway. There's still forgiveness for those children of God. Repent of them, turn from them. And then I shall be blameless. If we get away from those two types of sins, I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And then the final part, it's a prayer. It's one we should know. It should be prayed often. And it's also the end of a pretty cool song from back in the 70s. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. This isn't saying God change so that what I'm saying and praying is good. This is saying, God, change what I say and pray. Make me more holy so that my prayers are better. Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So our covenant God, Jehovah, is our strength, and we see these promises in God's law, and that's referred to in the psalm, and my redeemer. He's the one who saves us from our sin and from the penalty of it. So it's a really good psalm. And it covers a lot of ground. It covers special revelation, general revelation, threefold use of the law, sanctification, justification, it's all in there. It's a great psalm. And now we'll sing it. some of it. We're going to sing the second part of Psalm 19, 19b.